The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Good morning. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is full of love. If we had to pick out two words from that entire passage, what two words first come to mind that are repeated over and over? Love. And God, right? Love and God. If you had to count how many times, I didn't count in the original Greek, but it would seem like it's over 15 or 20. It seems like this is the ultimate expression of the sermon that John wants to give to the communities. Thus ends the sermon. Thank you, Jason. Isn't this the ultimate expression of community, that God loved us so much that he sent the ultimate connection in his son Jesus Christ? Then verse 13. First, verse 13 comes around, and this connection is made perfect in the Holy Spirit who lives in us so that we can live in God. This is community. Wouldn't it be fantastic if the entire world took this seriously? So welcome back. I mean, we've been here a while. You're in some ways, as we speak at the second service to the entire school communities and the teachers who are coming back, I'll say welcome back to you also. Some of you have perhaps been on fantastic holidays to exotic destinations like the Murray River. Murray River, I should say, right? Welcome back. Have any of you been away? Has anyone been away? Where did you go, Gary? Ooh, that's nice. Everyone's jealous now. Cook Islands, New Zealand. Anyone else go anywhere? Besides home? Andrea went. Where did you guys go? Brisbane. Boy, that's a beautiful place. Brisbane. In some ways, as we come, we say, welcome back to community, because community, this is, in some ways, in essence, where we find our connection, our being, our families, even if our families are a long ways away. So welcome back, re-entering this community. It's like that TV show, I don't know if you've ever seen it, called Cheers. You have? That's good, we have a connection. As people walk through the door, what do you first notice? People walk through the door of the bar Cheers, what do you notice?
Everyone says hello.
They're welcomed. What else? They know their name. Correct? And what else happens? People know what they need. They're served immediately. They just send it down the bar. Maybe I shouldn't be using this analogy for our sermon today, but it's okay. In community, people are welcomed. In community, people's names are known. And in community, people can serve each other's needs and wants in some ways. But I want to ask this question first. When we speak the word community, what comes to mind? What are the words that you think of when we speak the word community?
Togetherness,
yes.
Comfort.
Common. Yes, common is in the word community, kind of. What?
Safety.
Support.
Unity.
Unity, that's in the word too. A group of people, that's right. It's more than two or three, that's right. Even though in two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. But a community is more than that. Go ahead. It definitely can be sadness. We suffer together, we rejoice together. It can be both, that's right. So there's all sorts of ways. In the second service, there's a video that's going to be played from a city called Seattle in the United States, one of the most secular places in the entire country. And the question that was asked around Seattle was, what makes up a community? And these were some of their answers. We work together and we support each other, conduct ourselves, represent well to the children, a place to have a chat, access to everything, including the quiet, know everyone, like-minded individuals, extended family, part of a bigger thing. Does this not sound like the church is supposed to be? But this was not a question asked to church people. Everyone, I believe, has this understanding deep inside themselves inside their heart that God has planted, that we all desire community, because in essence, God is community. In the triune God, we find community, and in each of us, God has planted this desperate seed. We desire to be with each other. So is that the church? Are those eight things that I've just put up there, is that our contemporary church worldwide? The first question, the second question I want to ask is today. I'm missing a slide. Anyway, I'm going to ask that question. Forget that I just said that. Here's the chicken and the egg question. Our theme today is loving community. Is it more important to love the community you're in or to be a community that loves? Let's do this, because I'm just going to get... How many of you believe that it's more important to love the community that you're in? Or is it more important to be part of the loving community? Perhaps, maybe. Which one comes first? The first one. That makes sense, doesn't it? People don't join groups or clubs because they hate to go there, right? Correct? I'm not going to go to the cricket club. Not that I hate, well, it's not my favorite. Most of you will not go to the gridiron club. Correct? Most of you won't go to some of you would go to the ice hockey club, but not many of us. But you would go to a place where you felt like people welcomed you, knew your name, and wanted to help you serve in the midst. And when you feel that, when you feel welcomed, when people know your name, when you feel part of something bigger and that you feel supported, you can't help but want to serve, right? That's what community is. Throughout the history of the church, community has been one of these big issues that we have struggled with. And for some reason, that's a difficult topic. And why is this? Communities have a tendency for isolation rather than looking outwards. So communities generally want to take care of their, if you will, club members first, correct? Notice from 1 John 2. Don't love the world or anything in it. Don't love the world or anything in it. But we misunderstand this command sometimes. Don't create idols of trust, but recognize that in John 17, this amazing opportunity that we have, that John gives us, don't just be part of the world, Jesus sends the disciples, he said, you can be in the world, but not of the world. I think that happens with regards to churches or clubs too. We tend to be in the church, but we don't be of the church. We don't recognize the broader perspective, the community aspect, because we can't just be community just by ourselves. We're part of something much larger. Communities tend to be allergic to change. It doesn't matter if it's churches. It doesn't matter if it's a cricket club. It doesn't matter what it is, but most times we're allergic to that change. Margaret Wheatley says this: the things we fear most in organizations or communities, fluctuations, disturbances, imbalances, those things that we're afraid of are the primary sources of creativity. Did you know that? Those things that disturb us or cause us to change or to be moved, those are the things that cause us to be creative. In our own community, there have been things in the last few years that probably have caused a sense of disturbance, a change that perhaps has caused a sense of anxiety, maybe in this community. But at that very point, God offers us the opportunity to be creative together. So communities look inwards. Communities can be allergic to change, not all of them. Community is joined in a common goal, but sometimes we forget our common identity. We go off in these different directions. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but we don't stick together. Bernard Cook says this: the principal ministry of the community is exercised by being. Precisely by being a community, this is all about identity, precisely by being a community of faith and love, and as such bears witness to the presence of God's saving grace in Christ in the Spirit, our first and foremost connection and role is simply to be, not to do. God calls us to be in community. God calls us to be in community with Jesus Christ and to remember that we are loved and to remember that we can love. We be community first. Is that the church? Take, for instance, the churches to whom and the people John writes to. John isn't writing to a specific group of people. Like most of the letters, you know, you write to Galatia or Philippi or any of those places. John is writing, in some ways, a circular letter. John is writing to a group of people, and he hopes that it gets passed on. And this letter has almost everything to do with what it means to be a community in the first century. So John writes this in John chapter 1. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also might have fellowship, which is another word for community. And our community is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we write this to make our joy complete. When we recognize our community in Jesus Christ and God the Father, our joy is complete. So he's writing this circular letter to a whole group of people that's get passed on and on. But we could sense this ultimate desire in John the Apostle to continue, even when it seems like he has a sense of isolation. John eventually is placed on an island called Patmos. And what is it he most desperately wants? I think connection. I think community. When he writes these books in the letters in 1 John, I think he knows what community is. He desperately desires. It's one of our foundational and fundamental needs, I think, to be in community. So he wants to have his joy made complete by others recognizing their community in Jesus Christ. So he writes these not to specific people, but he writes them to groups of people. And I love these. First of all, he writes to them as dear children. He's an old man at this point. He's probably at least 45, right? I'm 45. I had to say it. No, he's probably much older than that. Probably much, but he's writing to them and he says, dear children, I've been through a long time of life and these things are important to me. And then he says, and I'm writing to you, dear parents, also. And I'm writing to you, dear children, again. And then lastly, he doesn't leave anyone out in this intergenerational opportunity. He's not writing to the people who are in leadership. He's writing to everyone. Because everyone in the community matters, regardless of age. I'm writing to you, young people. Notice these words that he puts. Because you are strong. And the Word of God lives in you. When's the last time you spoke that? I'm not shaking my finger. When's the last time you spoke that to a young person? I want to tell you how valued you are because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you. Isn't that amazing? John is writing to all members of the community. But sometimes in this world we get wrapped up in so much busyness and so much activity and so much distancing. We stand behind or sit behind our screens or we sit behind our car wheels or sit behind away from community and we get so distracted that we forget that in the very beginning we have been created for being. In the very beginning we have been created for being community. So John knows that this lasting Christian community has these things in common, these ways that we connect. Of course, the first is this. Communities have a common struggle. The common struggle I've already read. We have a common struggle about being in the world. There are so many things that distract us. There are so many ways that we want to love the things of this world instead of how God calls us to be. Then, of course, loving communities have common struggles. What would you say is a common struggle of this community? We don't struggle at all, do we? What's that? Okay, Jim, I've got a question for you. I'm putting you on the spot. What's our community? Yep.
The area around us is also.
Mm-hmm.
And we strive to be relevant and reverent.
Yep. Relevant and reverent. Good. What else is our community? Yes, we're all part of different people in this community. What else is part of our community? It's 14 steps that way. That's right. Everybody's part of our community, but we break them down so we can be in, as we've known, small groups together. But the school community, that's why we made these shirts that say Good Shepherd Lutheran Community rather than church or congregation. Because sometimes when we say church, we don't view the school as part of the church, but they are. They are the church. And imagine, if you look at how many young people are over there who are strong and God's word lives in them, imagine if all those young people and their families came here, how strong and vibrant and the word of God living in this community would be. We have common stories. So when we talk about common stories, the common story of how this place came to be, how we have struggled throughout our history, but the common stories that we have especially are about relationships, correct? We speak about God's love in this place and how it's changed lives. We had a whole series last year about how God had changed lives. That's common stories that we share together for mutual inspiration, isn't it? This is a naughty word in our society. Commitment. Long-term commitment. Not short-term. Most of you, as I look in here, have had long-term commitment to this community. But for the most part, our world shuns commitment because there might be something different on the other side. When Jesus called the disciples, what kind of commitment was he calling them to? Every other Sunday? For an hour? Nah. The commitment. He bids them, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, to come and die. That's quite a commitment, isn't it? And when you die to yourself, who is it that lives in you? Only a holy God. Long-term commitment produces amazing opportunities as we participate in God's miraculous plan in the world. Lastly, common communities have a common language. We have common things that we talk about in this place, in that place, in our communities. We have the opportunity to use that language to express the gospel. We reach into the communities with the gospel so all may know Jesus and worship him. You know what happens, though? Here is John writes, this is how we live in him. This is how we know that we live in him. As the community comes together, he's given us his spirit. And we have and seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. So we know and rely on the love that God has for us. When God lives in this community, as God lives in this place, we recognize that he lives within us and for us. But the problem is we're human, isn't it? That's the issue. That's the hardest part. We like to have our own control, our own space. Here's another quote by Dietrich, and then I'll just be about done here. Those who love their dream of Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself. So those that have their own idea of what the community should be like, rather than the people who are there, they become destroyers of the Christian community, even though their personal intentions might be honest and earnest and sacrificial. If your dream of the Christian community, as you would build it, is more important than the actual people that are there, we destroy it. I am guilty of this at times. Those who dream of this idolized community demand that it be fulfilled by God, by others, and themselves. Those are pretty high demands on pretty powerful other people, aren't they? But God lives in us, and we in God. That's the promise of faithfulness. So God has loved us. We love our neighbors. How do we do this? I've got some photos. How does this community together do this? We hearken back to Matthew 25. When we're hungry, we feed people. What's this a picture of? Meet and greet or meet and eat. That's right. As a community, because God has called us and loved us, we're called to love and serve others. When people are hungry, we feed them. That's where we encounter Jesus in them. What about this one? It's a little bit harder. That's right. Or when someone's thirsty, you'll have to look on the tables. There's only coffee there, I think. Maybe some tea. When people are thirsty, we give them a drink. This is the second part of Jesus. How do we know? When did we see you, Jesus? When they're thirsty, we give them a drink. When people are strangers, we welcome them in. Just imagine if we put the key under the mat outside. Welcome. The key is under the mat. Should we do that? Well, we could try it. There might be spray paint inside rather than outside. But welcoming the stranger is where Jesus calls us to be. Where were you when I was naked? Where were you when I was cold? I talked to my parents this week. It was 30 degrees below zero without the wind chill. They said they went outside, and within seconds, if you opened your mouth or took a breath in, it could freeze your lungs and scar them. The weatherman told them not to say anything. Don't speak even outside. Don't be out there for more than 30 seconds or your skin will start to freeze. There were people living outside in this. There were people dying outside in this. How do we take care of people who are cold? It happens here. How are we a loving community? Do we visit people who are in prison? And we play netball there too. It's one of the hardest and most important things that we as a community can do is to visit people who are in prison. And not just physical prisons, but it could be mental and emotional and psychological prisons. Places where people feel trapped. How do we visit people who are sick, who are dying? This is what a loving community does. This is what we're doing, but we can also be part of God's, participate in God's mission to the world, because it's there that we encounter Jesus. My hope is that as we go through our whole 5 weeks of understanding what community is, we recognize at the very core that we be a community, that we're in this together. And because God has loved us in the community, we can therefore love others. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is how we know. This is how we know. God bless you on your week as you prepare to serve in God's community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these opportunities to share God's love in this world. Because you have first loved us, because you have lived in us, because you have sent your Spirit to be that connection and community, we pray that you'll live in us so that we might with joy move from this community and serve others to see you in the greater community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.